And this is Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason in on this Wednesday morning with a look at what's been happening in the agricultural commodities. As we discuss the cash market, national average basis for corn was down a penny overnight at 31 cents under the May futures contract. The DTN National Corn Index up 13 cents at $4.53 a bushel. The national average basis for soybeans unchanged at 45 cents under the May futures. And the soybean index up 14 cents at $13.78. A quick look at the marketplace as it's trading in Chicago. Futures in the corn at $4.73 3/4 in the nearby March, down 3 cents. In December at $4.81 3/4, 4 3/4 lower. March beans at $14.09 1/4, now down 8 3/4. November futures $11.75 1/4, down 6 cents. Soft red winter wheat in a lead option March at $6.33 1/4, down 6.5 cents. Live cattle futures at $146.45, up 82.5 in the April. March feeders at $173.92 1/2, up $1.02 1/2. And lean hogs at $114.67 1/2 are up the $3 limit at this hour.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Now here's meteorologist Drew Lerner with an update of today's weather forecast.
Warming temperatures across the Midwest over the next several days will likely help to break up some of the rivers and streams with all their ice that has accumulated this winter, but that may lead to some ice jamming on some of those rivers, and flooding will be a possibility. We don't have any major storm systems on the forecast charts right now, and that's probably going to help that river situation. Flooding is not expected to be very large, but there will be localized areas of flooding, and again, a result of the ice jamming that's going to take place and not because of significant runoff. The precipitation prospects for the Midwest are rather dim at the moment, at least as far as major storm systems is concerned. That's good. We'll look for perhaps a chance for melting a lot of the snow that's across the region on a gradual basis over these next few days. The only precipitation of significance will likely occur some very light snow that moves through the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest here later today and overnight tonight. The snow is going to diminish as it moves southeastward through the region. The greatest accumulating snows will probably be early today in southern Minnesota, northern Iowa, maybe southern Wisconsin. After that, it will be breaking up, and the precipitation will be minimal thereafter. We really don't expect to see much meaningful precipitation after about 9 or 10 o'clock this morning. And we'll look for the next disturbance to bring moisture across the southern Canadian prairies and some of the northern areas of the U.S. plains, as well as the uppermost Midwest as we go through tonight and into the day tomorrow. The precipitation may be a little bit of a wintry mix in parts of the Dakotas and Minnesota, but snow will be the primary rule. It will be mostly a light precipitation event, and as it moves southeastward across the rest of the Midwest from Friday into Saturday, we'll look for a lot of the precipitation to once again diminish. So over this next 2 or 3 day period, there will not be much in the way of meaningful precipitation for the majority of the region, and we'll expect to see the temperatures continuing to moderate. Afternoon temperatures today will run mostly in the 20s and 30s across a big part of the Midwest. Some 40-degree temperatures will be possible near the Ohio River and back into portions of central Missouri. Tomorrow afternoon, we'll look for the temperatures again, 20s and 30s in the north and some 40s, perhaps even a handful of lower 50s in the south. Most of those 50-degree readings will be confined to parts of Nebraska and Kansas, maybe a small part of western Missouri. And as we move into the day on Friday, some colder air will come into the upper parts of the Midwest. The eastern Dakotas and Minnesota will see teens and 20s for highs. Everybody else will still be in their warming mode with a lot of 30-degree readings in the Great Lakes region and 40s and 50s likely further to the south, maybe even a couple of readings up above 60 degrees in Missouri. And one more stop here on Saturday afternoon. We'll see that cooler air overspreading a larger part of the Midwest. We'll expect teens and 20s across the northern half of the region and 30s and perhaps a few 40s in the south. Our low temperatures at night are still going to be turning warmer as well, but it too will be a gradual process. We'll look for low temperatures tomorrow morning. In the positive and negative single digit readings across Wisconsin, everybody else will probably see upper single digits and teens across the northern Midwest. The lower parts of the Midwest will see teens and lower 20s. The low temperatures on Friday morning are expected to run mostly teens and 20s north and 20s and some lower 30s south. And we'll see colder air overspreading a larger part of the Midwest on Saturday morning. Sub-zero temperatures will be back in the eastern Dakotas and parts of Minnesota. Positive single digits and teens will occur in the remainder of the northwestern Corn Belt. And everybody else across the Midwest will likely see temperatures dropping into the 20s and 30s for lows on Saturday morning. Sunday morning, we'll see the colder air pushing further east across the region, and then we'll look for some more warming to occur as we move into the early part of next week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Our thanks, of course, go to Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated for his daily updates of the weather forecast across the planet and its growing regions. Now on the phone line from Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, is Bill Gentry to look at the commodities trade in Chicago. Good morning to you, Bill. Let's talk a little bit, Bill, about what the marketplace has been doing and what happened yesterday while we were at the beef house in Covington, Indiana.
Yesterday was kind of one of the temperature in basically Ukraine kind of came down a little bit, relaxed some of the tensions, and the trade kind of did a little bit of a sigh of relief. I think realistically, the trade is realizing what a significant contributor to the Ukraine is to the world corn market, and that's getting some attention. And I think realistically, as far as the beans are concerned, we're looking at South American business not picking up as fast as we might have thought. And so our Gulf basis prices are pretty strong for the first half of March, meaning we've got some potential business taking place down there. And we really, you know, even with the cancellations that we saw this morning, we're still expecting to see a positive export sales number tomorrow, which we really can't afford to have.
Because we're so short of supply?
That's exactly right. We've probably overbooked above what the USDA is expecting to export this year, probably 50%. So arguably, if you run the numbers straight down the page, we probably have a carryout that's right now penciled in below 100 million bushel.
That is a tight carryout, and it won't be able to be sustained. So what happens? Cancellations, shifts of origin, price goes higher.
You bet. Yeah, what we talked about a couple of weeks ago was trying to get the bean price 20 to 30 cents higher so we basically price ourselves out of the export market. Apparently that hasn't been enough. We probably need to do some more. The other thing is we could possibly dial in some imports, you know, greater imports second half of the marketing year, especially considering Brazil's crop is as big as it is. It's shrinking, but it's still very large.
It will be a waiting game now for producers, and they can simply guess, I suppose, on the old crop as to how high might be. Most of them won't have any old crop soybeans yet to sell. On the flip side, this, I suppose, will carry by default the deferred or the November new crop higher. What do producers need to do and consider with that particular futures contract?
Yeah, right now our strong consideration is buying at-the-money new crop bean puts. It offers a lot of flexibility. Granted, they're 60 to 80 cents, but if the market goes higher because we're this tight, 60 or 80 cents, as we've seen over the last couple, 3 years, is not an insurmountable goal. On the flip side, too, it protects you to the downside and probably locks you in at least an $11 handle going into fall, which most guys, if you're selling beans out of the field at $11 or higher, you're doing pretty darn good.
On the other side of that coin, you discussed Ukraine, the problems that have developed with Russia there, the instability in the region. They're the third largest exporter of corn on the planet. But it appears, at least based on what we're hearing from the ports, that corn continues to flow.
Exactly. I think the movement of grains and other commodities out of the country has been uninterrupted. The one thing I would say is they have become a very big corn producer over the last several years, but will they have a shift towards other cereal grains and away from corn? So, you know, their substitution rate based on these lower prices is something we have to consider as well.
So that means we're looking forward to potential more spring wheat planting there?
possibly there. Or, you know, I don't know what their winter crops are, because they've got winter barley and some other things that they can grow as well.
Yes, and of course they have a winter wheat crop that's already in the ground, and that'll come to harvest in August. What kinds of things do we need to watch from that part of the world? What triggers would you be looking forward to that might have an impact in the marketplace?
If we happen to see China shift business away from them, because this instability in that region has made new deals a little bit harder to make on the world market. Reliable supplies is a really important factor when it comes to world trade. So if they start to lose business and we start to see additional business, especially from non-typical customers, as we go back and talk about discretionary purchases, that would be a lead-in. It says we could see additional exports in the second half of the year.
So this is something that's already been in the news. There's been discussion about whether China is not happy with Ukraine and its ability to deliver grain based on, I think it was a 2012 contract they have with that nation. So that's one of the things we'll need to watch.
Yes, we need to see some physical business take place to the U.S. Yes.
All right. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That is Bill Gentry. He's with Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the opening market report. You are, of course, listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. Find us online at will.illinois.edu. It is the top of the hour, 9 o'clock Central Time. If you're looking for the ag programming, that's willag.org, willag.org. Futures are trading like this now. March wheat at 632, down 7 3/4. Corn down 3 3/4 in the March at 473. May at 480 and 3/4, 3 1/2 lower. In December at 481 and a half, down a nickel. March beans at $14, 8 3/4, 9 1/4 lower. July at 1388, down 8 1/2. And November at 1174 and 3/4, 6 1/2 cents lower. Bean meal down 550. Bean oil off 41 cents. April live cattle up $1.12 and a half at 146.75. And feeders at 174.10 are $1.20 higher. Lean hogs in the April at 114.67 and a half are up the $3 limit. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This is Illinois Public Media.